Pickaxe.
Jetzt nur du, dein Podcast und eine leckere Auszeit. Ab zu Aldi Nord. Für 2,99 € bringst du deine Mittagspause mit Sushi ins Rollen. Lecker. Und für 1,99 € gönnst du dir danach noch eine kleine Eiszeit. Bei Aldi Nord findest du immer das Passende. Klingt gut? Dann probier die Snacktime Sushi Box ab 205 Gramm für nur 2,99 € oder Mucki Sandwich Eis je 8 Stück für nur 1,99 €. Das ist Gutes für alle zum Aldi-Preis. Jetzt in deiner Filiale. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triforce Podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us on this adventure.
Yes.
We're all together.
Thanks very much.
Oh. Sips.
Yeah.
P-Flax.
Yeah.
You guys are also here. P-Flax noticed at the end of last Triforce Podcast that it's been exactly 2 years since we started recording
when
this.
We went to when I went to save the file at the end of the recording session, I noticed that it was the same date, March the what would it have been?
Seventh.
And it was that 2017. That was when we
That's
first
right.
started.
So we're two.
We are 2 years old.
We're 2 years old, yeah. It means that we're still developing at a frightening rate. Got a lot of development to go through still. We're probably not sleeping as well as we could be. Probably still drinking a lot of milk as well to sustain ourselves. And probably
from our mother's seat.
Still shitting our pants on.
I will
on
say
the daily.
This: normally, when you look at a young child, you think it's going to grow up into something better.
Yeah.
With us, I don't think that wish is going to be granted. I think what you see now is what you're going to get until we are forced to quit by some kind
born
of lawsuit.
40-year-old old man.
There's a lot of hope. There's a lot of hope, but sometimes that it doesn't pay off. It doesn't turn into what you expect it to. You know, expectation is everything, right?
Do not trust to hope. It is forsaken these lands. Lord of the Rings. Sorry, I watched it the other day.
It's a great quote. I didn't realize that was where it was from.
Jeez, that is...
And I watched it like a month. I watched it over Christmas. Oh, my God. So anyway, how are you guys doing? Anything happened this week that's worth commenting on? Just mundanities of your real life. What have you done?
I've been listening to a lot of Beatles albums, like, because I've been listening to all these old albums. But the album club. So like we've listened to some Neil Young, which is really good, and we're now listening to Talking Heads. But what I've been doing in between is like I've been you know, following the album club, and I've been doing my bit. You know, I have to listen to these albums, but I find myself wanting more. So I've kind of like gone off the grid a little bit, and I've been doing my own personal album club where I've been listening to, and so far that's been mostly Beatles albums, which I never appreciated in the past. And actually it's interesting story. I actually for like the first time in a long time I've had something to talk to my mom about other than like my kids.
Okay.
And like vacation plans and stuff like that. Because she's a Beatles fan, and she's always been one. She was like, when the Beatles were releasing albums, she was sort of like target demographic. She was a young teenage girl at the time, which was largely their
fan
base.
That's what they were interested in.
Beatlemania.
Beatlemania, that's right. So she was an avid Beatlemaniac back in the day. And I've been talking to her. I've been listening to all these old albums through just to get a feel for the Beatles and an appreciation for the Beatles after all this time of not really appreciating them much. Now I talk to my mom about it almost daily. Like, oh, what song is your favorite song on this album? What's your favorite album? You know, who's your favorite Beatle? Which fifth Beatle do you agree is the actual fifth Beatle? Because there's like
who's the hottest Beatle? Like
lots of Beatle questions and stuff, and she's always happy to answer. You know, she's really into it, so it's been good.
The answer is always not Ringo.
Well, you'd be surprised. You know, there's a couple of people that really rate Ringo. They thought he was like the best drummer in Liverpool at the time. But then famously, there was a quote by Paul McCartney when asked, Is Ringo the best drummer in the world?
He's not even the best drummer in the Beatles.
Yeah, that's right. That's the quote. Yeah, which is I always thought was really funny. Actually, really a really funny quote. He's not even the best drummer.
Really
in the
nice
Beatles.
Quote from your friend.
Yeah, right.
And bandmate.
Well, I mean, they did break up, and they kind of hated each other in the end. So, like, maybe that was like some foreshadowing of you know.
I mean, they had a better run than 2 years, though, right?
10 years. They were together for about ten years.
There was some fantastic stuff, actually. I mean, and I saw this week, linking back to last week, that when Paul McCartney sold all the Beatles albums to Michael Jackson. Follow up, Triforce News. McCartney, like about 2 years ago, bought back all of those.
That's right. Yeah, he brought back
Sony because Michael Jackson. I think Michael Jackson bought him, outbid Paul McCartney for like $47 million or something for the entire Beatles catalog.
Yeah, well,
right?
I mean,
it went up to like $1 billion value, and that helped like Michael Jackson through all of his like extravagant.
Yeah, that's right, because he sort of spunked all his money on Neverland,
giraffes and stuff for Neverland, whatever.
Literally and figuratively, I guess. And
I guess,
and but McCartney's. I think McCartney is now like worth 1.2 billion or something. He's like one of the richest musician. I mean, their back catalog is insane, though.
But I agree. Like, honestly, some of those albums, really interesting stories. There's a couple of really good documentaries behind them, and like about like the Wall of Sound stuff and all of the interesting Beatles stuff. I recommend, if you're into even if you're not into it, I think there's some really interesting. I just sometimes watch random fucking documentaries on Netflix.
Same.
I watched one yesterday about cycling and doping called Icarus, and it's
was
like
it called cycling and doping
needles in his ass every day. So basically he comes like 14th in a sort of cycling event, and then the premise is that he's gonna dope for a year and like try and do better.
There's this thing recently about Olympic cycling, and I think it was a man who transitioned into a woman and competed in women's cycling, won the medal for women's cycling, and there's like a bit of controversy around it, you know, like ex-women's cyclists were coming out and saying that it's not fair and stuff, and that, you know, traditionally men's and women's events or whatever are like separate or whatever, and this guy is like, you know, naturally doping instead of like artificially doping. It's like the equivalent or whatever.
I feel like that's the thing. Like what they dope with is testosterone. You know, he's literally doing those. I mean, that's seriously like, I mean, I think he's also doing it something else, which is also like an organic molecule. Like it's not necessarily like a detectable anabolic steroid. It's not like classic, those things that made you just put on muscle like crazy, but were also incredibly bad for you and like made your testicles shrink and all that crap. But, you know, I think like it seems like mostly if you're born a man, and it's almost like what you do is you take the testosterone, you make yourself really strong and buff, and then you just stop for 2 weeks, and then you're just, your body goes back to normal, and then you compete. And it's like, you just can't be, you know, there's no way for you. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Really interesting documentary, really interesting stuff. Anyway, I'm just thinking, just quickly harking back to the Beatles and how your mum brought you and your mum together. Do you think that your kids are going to be like, in 20 years, they're going to be like listening to Take That albums and Spice Girls and like reconnecting with your...
I don't know if it's the same thing. I don't know if it's the same thing, though. I'm really only listening to the Beatles because... again, because of this album club, they just get featured so often in, you know, like top 50, top 100 best album lists. Because like Abbey Road, the White Album, and Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band are all considered these like classic sort of essential rock albums, right? On all these lists.
What are you saying? It was just luck that your mum was a young teenager when the Beatles were around.
It just
and
so
she was luckily exposed to good music as opposed to like today.
But like Take That and stuff, I don't think we're gonna look back in 20 years and see Take That as anything but just like a, you know, chart topping pop group. Like I don't think that they...
What about Boyzone? What about Five?
I mean,
you
to me,
talk shit about all these fucking... This is my childhood. Sips, you're shitting on.
I'm
here,
not
man.
Talking shit about them. They had a massive impact on me personally, but I just don't know if they've had a massive impact on
Bewitched,
the music industry. You know what I mean? I kind of see those bands more as like the
S Club
the
7.
Era of like manufactured bands, sort of thing. You know what I mean? And
I mean, I think they've always been manufactured bands. I think it's a mistake to think that it only happened in the 80s and 90s.
We're in the fucking plastic age, Sips, yo.
No,
what,
but I mean,
manufactured is best. I went to a fucking vegan vending machine yesterday.
You didn't.
I fucking did.
I hope I'm going to sabotage it to fall on anyone who puts money in that thing.
I don't mean like, I think you're right. I think a lot of bands are manufactured, But I'm talking about the ones that are manufactured by your Simon Cowells and stuff, like, you know.
But there were guys like that back then as well. The thing is, the difference is the sound is different, but that's it.
There wasn't a huge industry for it, though. And you could argue as well that, like, music that came out sort of like in the 60s and 70s was probably, during like the counterculture and everything, was probably a lot more influential than stuff that came out in the 90s or like 2000s, depending on the genre, right? But pop in the 90s wasn't like groundbreaking, I don't think.
No, I'm reluctant to say that the pop music of the past was better, because I think that we're going to see the same thing in 30 or 40 years that you're seeing now with the Beatles, which is that we cherry pick the stuff from the past and say, man, wasn't music great back then? But like I've said before, you're missing all the shit that was really popular when people the 70s was amazing, the 80s were the amazing, monkeys. The 60s were amazing. There was so much dreck, and the idea that it didn't sell, that we didn't have terrible music back then, just like we do now. A lot of people don't actually listen. They just put music on and they don't care. They don't really listen to it. They don't look for a connection with it. They like to have something on because otherwise there's just silence. But some people really listen to music, and that to me has to be good music. You can't really listen to Bewitched and be like, yes, this speaks to me and will continue to speak to me throughout my life.
I would argue you would never even put that on as background. You'd have to be really fucking desperate to put on a Bewitched album, in my opinion.
Maybe in 2019.
Sorry if I've offended you out there, Bewitched fans. But
Bewitched fans.
I don't think that Bewitched is breaking any ground here. You know what I mean? Like, I think that
so this is interesting. When a long time ago, I had a conversation with a bunch of people, and here's the idea. We're going to fire off a bunch of music in a rocket ship into space, sort of preserve some memory of the human race.
That's the only way you can possibly get rid of
that's
it.
That's it. Yeah, that also.
We're the worst music on Earth. We're going to fire it into the sun.
But we're going to preserve some record for, you know, the way when they sent that probe, it might have been Voyager, I can't remember, where they put like a disc on there with a human voice speaking and the R alphabet numbers and stuff like that.
It's called the Arecibo message or something, isn't
it? Sure. And but they designed it very carefully so that it didn't feature language, that it was pictorial, that it represented where we were, which planet was ours, just as a kind of record. I mean, in a billion years, maybe someone will find it and be like, huh, look at this. That would be amazing. But if we were to try to preserve, or let's say that there was a terrible impending doom and we could fit a certain amount of music, what would we choose? And some people were saying, well, surely we should put great music on there that stood the test of time, not the likes of Britney Spears, who was popular at the time of this conversation. And they were saying, well, how do you know what's good? Who are you to say that the music of today, of whoever the equivalent of Britney Spears is now, who cares, right? Fucking Miley Cyrus, let's say, okay? We should put the music of Miley Cyrus on this record as a testament and say, this is our record, this is the music we love. Like, if you let the public vote, it would be some stupid shit like that. And I'm saying, no, you'd have to put music that has actually stood the test of time and is proven to have led to other music coming about because of it, or it was like the start of a scene, or it had a real effect on people. But are we right to make, is it okay to make that judgment? And if so, why are we trusting music that maybe wasn't massively popular nowadays, but is considered important? How do you judge that? How do you judge it? I'm saying I know why I think it's right, but I'm interested to see what you guys think.
I would probably say, like, I mean, in the case of like a lot of like these classic albums, at the time of their release, they were considered groundbreaking. They were reviewed as such. And they were sort of given like the, this is really important. This is like an essential album that you need to listen to or whatever. This is going to be like groundbreaking or whatever.
Right.
But I think if you're going to send music up into a capsule to like, give another race, an idea of what, you know, makes the human race tick or whatever, you'd have
Lil Pump.
You'd have to be fair. Like, you'd have to have representation across every category. So, like, there would be some anal cunt in there. There'd
Gucci
have to
gang.
Be, right?
Gucci Gang's going to be in there. Gucci
there
gang,
should
Gucci
be some
gang,
Gucci gang,
gang
in there as
Gucci
well.
Gucci Gang. Yeah,
I would even say that you'd probably want to put Trollololol in there as well. Like, you know, so some of these songs, they don't fit any specific genre, but they're still just as important as some of, like, the traditional genres, you know, like rock, pop, hip hop, drum and bass, dubstep.
Would you put the Crazy Frog song on there from a few years back?
What, the Axl F one?
The Crazy Frog, that one? That one.
I think if you could, like, if you had to distill like a song down into a few pixels, I think that one might actually work. You know,
I think like
if you haven't got a lot of data to be sending on your transmission.
But what about jingles as well? Like, you'd want to send like the Go Compare jingle up there probably, and like
washing machine.
You know that go out to the lobby. Let's go. You know, the King Cone one and stuff. Yeah. Like, there's a couple of jingles.
Yeah, like, I think maybe what is the most iconic human song? If there was a song that defined humanity, what would it be?
Well, first of all, we're thinking of humanity from a Western perspective, so that's true.
Like,
one.
There's probably a lot of like sitar like kind of music as well.
Yeah.
That
some guy in rural China is going to have a real different idea.
Mongolian
about
throat singing as well.
Exactly,
probably pretty popular.
Oh my god, do you know what the fucking song is?
Go on.
It's probably fucking Michael Jackson.
What
Are
about
you
us?
But
Earth song.
Well, because he's like hugely popular everywhere across the world. He's like a global phenomenon, has been for years. Like,
that's true.
I think,
yeah,
like, if anything has united the East and West, it's like Michael Jackson's song.
I think it should be That Girl Is Mine with the duo with Paul McCartney, where they're like, no, no, Michael, she's mine.
Paul, you're fucking crazy, dude. She's mine.
It's like the most awkward song. I think that's a good representation of the human race, especially like in 2019. I think they should send that.
Essentially,
that one song
terrible
in a capsule. Yeah.
It's not great for modern,
yeah,
modern world. So the humans live as the male dominated with a female slave race.
Yeah, and they're very predatory over females, it seems. They're arguing about them.
Yes, the mating decision is made by which man can out-argue the other. Intriguing. A debate-based reproductive
list of
system.
Songs from Lil Pump.
Lil Pump says...
By Stormzy.
This song is interesting. It says, first, you have to get the bitches, and you get the money to get the bitches. And he also implies that pimping isn't easy. What is pimping? And why is it so hard?
And why does this man seem to have so many bitches all up on his dick and balls? licking on my balls and sucking on my balls all the time.
The combination of gin and juice appears to be important to this race.
And something referred to as Indo.
Fucking hell.
Can you imagine they hear this, they turn up. Human beings of Earth, we have brought you much Indo, also gin and juice combined in a cup. And don't worry, we have brought our own gin. We are not relying merely on your seagrams.
And we've also brought
our
own bitches.
We have
bitches to be
sucking and rubbers.
We have heard that you are thirsty for bitches.
As you would say, humans, sucking on our balls and licking on our balls. Humans.
Don't worry, we have brought all of our balls for you to suck on. No longer will you go hungry or thirsty.
I don't know. I like coming back to the argument about music and stuff. It's hard for me to judge because I'm older, right? And there is definitely a thing where the older you get, the more entrenched you are with music that you listen to in your teens, right?
But yeah, people defining, tend to be, definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
People
so like whatever you listen to in your mid going into late teens is likely what you're going to still be listening to sort of like when you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s or whatever. On average, I'm not saying everybody. Some people
are really
into music,
yep,
and they'll keep listening to new music and going to see new bands and stuff like that. But I think in general, the vast majority of people who aren't that into music will do this, right? So like you're coming up to 50, you're still listening to, like, if you grew up in the 90s, you're still listening to like Nirvana and Soundgarden.
Yes, I know people like
Nas
that.
So like I'm not worried about that, but I'm annoyed that I'm like that. So I'm trying to like go back at like, but I still don't trust new music. Like, and maybe through this process, I'll get to a point where I can appreciate new music, but I just don't trust it. Like, I think there's so much, and it's so easy to get music out there now with like your Spotify's and Amazon Music and stuff like that, that I think that it's too much of a undertaking, you know, like where I can just go back in time and I can seek out these, you know, alleged classic albums in any given genre sort of thing and consume those instead. But I don't know if it helps me, really.
You know I feel like that is the opposite of looking for new music. You are specifically looking
I'm still broadening my range of taste and stuff, right?
But in the wrong direction is what I'm saying. It's like we need to go east, and you're saying, yeah, but if I go west far enough, then I'll be in the east. And technically, you're right. If you keep going west, you will end up. But it's a long road to get from to the east if you just go west.
So
as Columbus discovered, am I right, history fan?
So it's weird because I'm listening to new music for me, like music that I've never listened to that I am now enjoying and never appreciated before, but it's not
so
new
it's
music.
New to you rather than new music, right?
Yes.
So I would love to send you a couple of my favorite albums from the last few years to listen to. Like I generally listening to a full album.
Oh my God, we can make it like a segment on this podcast.
Yeah, I could give you a couple of albums. We don't,
like,
by the way,
the
first
Bewitched
of all,
album,
Reddit,
and report back.
Yeah, listen to this Bewitched album. This is their fourth album. Their sound has really matured at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know if Bewitched even had four albums. I'm going to Google that right now.
I only remember that one song about Jesse. Whoa, Jesse, go on, and on. And that's the only Bewitched song I think I know.
Oh my God, they reformed in 2012 and they are currently still going.
Okay.
Adele Lynch, Keavy Lynch, Lindsay Armow, and Sinead O'Carroll. Do you reckon they're Irish? I don't know.
Yeah, no, they
yeah, they
for
are.
Sure
they
are,
won
yeah.
like an Irish, like.
So they have three albums. Bewitched.
Okay.
Which came out in 1998. Awake
what was
and
their
Breathe.
Biggest hit?
Their biggest hit?
Yeah.
Let's have a look. Bewitched Discography. Video albums extended solo artist. C'est La Vie.
Oh yeah, C'est La Vie, that's right. I remember that. C'est La Vie.
C'est La Vie. And then Roller Coaster, which I don't remember.
Roller Coaster. Oh no, it's not them, is it?
That is Baby Shark, I believe that was. Roller Coaster. That's what you were singing right there.
Roller Coaster. No, it's that one there. For, you know, Roller Coaster. What's that from?
I'm going to have to look this up now because I'm so curious.
Sing it into Shazam. See if it picks it up. Roller Coaster.
You're actually not that far off.
Do, do, oh my God. Do. How many albums then? Do we know? Three albums.
Three was the confirmation, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know, man. I just like I don't want to listen to Bewitched though. Like they're not, you know, they don't have like any accolades that appeal to me other than C'est La Vie, which is familiar, but I just don't even know if it's a good song, really. Like I would say it's not, personally, but I don't know. Like on a top 50 pop album of all time, judged by like Rolling Stone or something like that, there's got to be better pop albums.
I was just listening to Roller Coaster. It's terrible. It's
what,
terrible.
What,
the song is
Bewitched?
Terrible. The video is terrible. It's terrible. Like there's nothing redeeming about it. It's absolutely
It's a real mark of its time from 1997 or whatever.
When you look at stuff from the 90s, this is what always amazes me, is when I look at videos from the
80s. It's got a very sort of set look.
I always think of the Spice Girls when I think of the 90s, but then there were so many other great bands, like apart from the Spice Girls as well.
But when the Spice Girls were big, if you look at the production value of their videos, it was shockingly bad. It was like absolutely shockingly bad.
Yeah.
When you look at the quality of the songs, I listened to whatever, what was their Wannabe, right? Oh, tell me where you want me. Or listen to that. Like yesterday, Mrs. F put it on to piss me off. She put it on the setup.
Right. my go-to for that is the fast food song by Fast Food Rockers. My kids love it as well. Every day they ask for it.
If you listen to Wannabe, it's like the jankiest, shittest assembly of music. Like the production is so low quality, they did it in an afternoon. I fucking swear to God, it's like the most simple beat, there's barely any backing music, the lyrics are written on a fucking napkin, they're so bad, they don't scan, it's terrible. And this was a global hit. I and you think that's the 90s, in a fucking nutshell, it was there's no
poetry there. There's no talent. There's no.
It was all the '90s in a nutshell, though. There's so much
for pop music. It is
for pop music, I would say. Yeah, but didn't History by Michael Jackson come out in the '90s? And that was like
one of his worst albums.
Oh help!
No,
help
I don't know us. If it was though.
Was nothing else good in the '90s? Were there any things like what were you look back on from 2000s? Fucking Coldplay.
In terms of pop in the '90s, yeah, I don't think much came out. Like, I think it was a bad time for pop.
For pop music, I think it was one of the worst.
It was just dominated by boy and girl bands. Right. But if you think
about other music that came out in the '90s, there was loads of really good stuff. Britney Spears came out in the '90s. But that was the very end of tail end of the '90s, leading into the 2000s.
Right.
We're being very defensive of Britney Spears. We're gonna represent our girl. You know, come on.
Yeah.
She was.
You had grunge in the '90s.
Right. But that's
like
the thing
huge.
Is, I'm saying that's not pop, right? So you had the golden, arguably
the golden era of hip hop in the '90s as well. Most people.
What I was going to say is, like, pop music suddenly stopped being, they stopped having just white people in groups, which is pretty much what pop music was in the '90s, was just a bunch of white kids in a group.
I feel like R&B fused into pop a bit more in the '90s
exactly.
As well.
Pop was overtaken by hip hop, which then became more mainstream. If you think about what rap used to be like, if you think about modern pop music, it's far more related to R&B and hip hop than it is to the pop sound of the '80s. The '90s was like a carry-on from the '80s, but it looked super shit. And instead of just being made by musicians, which a lot of pop music was in the '80s, it was made by studios putting together the shittest beat they could and assembling a group.
Yeah. When I think of a manufactured band, that's what I think of. What you just described there.
But they did also do that with Motown and a lot of people around that era.
I think it was different though, because the quality was much better. Like the people doing it were responsible for like some real belters, you know what I mean?
Oh god, yeah.
As opposed to like some of the shit that's come out from the '90s onwards.
Oh my god, it's so bad.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
I don't know. I'm sure that people who are more into this have like a better opinion on all this or whatever. But I just find it interesting. It's something I've been doing recently.
Yeah.
And
I mean, look, do you remember Wickfield?
And I've been loving it.
Do you remember Wickfield? Saturday night. Pretty baby. We remember the tune, but I want you to go back to some of these 90s so-called classics, and I want you to actually listen to the quality of the song making.
Like What
and
Is Love and Rhythm of the Night and I've Got the Power.
But those were all dance classics. It was different. I mean, I'm talking about music that was pop music, has a person singing, it's meant to be a song, but there's no redeemable quality to it whatsoever. It's just an earworm. You just recognize the tune, and for some people, that's enough.
Yeah.
They just want to say, oh, I know this one. And the lyrics are easy to remember. But that doesn't make it a good song. But that's what I'm saying is it good?
No, well, I guess
and if not, why not?
Can the charts even be trusted too, though? Because if music is coming out at a time where most of the music coming out is bad, like there's like a lull or whatever, and something makes it to number one, is it really number one? You know what I mean?
I mean,
like,
do we want
to
have
number
Meatloaf
one in relation to the time? But like, fuck, does it really stand up over time after a while? Like,
that's what
you
I'm
know,
saying.
And I would do anything for love.
I would eat anything for lunch.
That was number one for like 10 fucking years, right? Yeah. Is that going?
Oh fuck! And the creepy fucking music video where it was like Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Like fuck me! It wasn't Cher in it as well, or something? Like, didn't Cher have something to do with that song?
No, it wasn't Cher. I can't remember the lady that was in it, but it wasn't Cher.
Because it was from a movie, right? It was a song from a movie.
It was the song from the fucking Beauty and the Beast movie.
Pick me up,
I'm sure of it.
And put me down. It doesn't even sound like a woman singing. It sounds like the guy from South Park singing in a fake woman's voice. You know what I mean?
So get this in the notes for the album. You know the woman that sings? She was only credited as Mrs. Loud in the album notes.
What?
Yeah. She was later identified as Lorraine Crosby. However, she does not appear in the video, and her vocals are lip-synced by Dana Patrick. Isn't that weird?
What the fuck? Yeah, that is pretty weird, yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. Meatloaf. Again, Meatloaf gets sort of like bounced around as like, you know, oh, it's classic Meatloaf albums and stuff. But like, I never like listened to him, and my recollections of him are that I would do anything for love, which annoys me. So like,
but you won't do that.
But I won't do that. So like, I feel the same way about Meatloaf. Like, I would do anything, listen to a new album, but I won't listen to Meatloaf.
Listen to Meatloaf.
No,
fair enough.
Yeah, no, I will probably end up listening to Meatloaf in my journey at some point, but. Much like Pink Floyd, I'm not ready. Everybody bangs on about Dark Side of the Moon being like this classic fucking album, essential rock album that everybody has to have listened to. But my idea of Pink Floyd is that they're just so fucking boring. I can't bring myself to do it. But I know nothing about them. I've never really listened to any of their music.
If you listen to Comfortably Numb, that is a really good track. I mean, the guitar solo in that is legendary, absolutely legendary. I agree there. One of the, like a lot of those old bands, especially from that
it's
era.
Like stoner rock, right? 70s music no. You know, like Deep Purple are boring to me as well. I tried listening to one of their albums and it's just like that muscle car stoner rock that I just...
Yeah.
I can't get into. I don't like it that much.
I think it's a little bit more psychedelic than yeah. I mean, you know, people did a lot of drugs when they went to see a lot of these bands. And I think that was obviously like... Like, I think of the Grateful Dead when I think of, like, stoner rock.
Really. Yes, but, yeah, God, the Grateful Dead.
But, yeah, you're right. That was a lot of that era. That I think the reason that it's held up as these amazing classics is partly because the journalists writing about it are all middle-aged and up.
Yeah.
People who grew up in that era. That was obviously big for them. But, yeah. Again, is it going on the shuttle? Are we going to put the Grateful Dead on there?
Yeah, but find me somebody who's writing like positively about Bewitched. Like does that happen? Like,
I bet there's still
I'd love to see a review on like a Bewitched album. Like just to see what
there's
people have to say.
There's a fan page on Facebook, Bewitched fan page. Oh, that's for the TV show.
Of course, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
It's
man.
Pretty. I mean, I think we can agree that there seems to be something that we can point to and say this isn't going on the shuttle. We can't really explain why. Yes, it was very popular, but it sucks. Like looking back now, it sucks. So it has to be a measure of standing the test of time. Really.
That's it. Yeah, I think some stuff needs to be like I feel like Nirvana. I'm a fan of Nirvana, so like I'll always have a bias. But
I was a teenager, but I'm not now.
I feel like their stuff has stood up to time. Like it still sounds great now. Like. To me anyway, but I don't know, like maybe it has aged a little bit, but I find a lot of pop music, especially like your Britney Spears, like Bewitched and stuff like that. Fuck me. And Spice Girls, especially. Holy crap. It's so cringe to listen to now. Like at the time when it was on the radio all the time, you're like, oh, whatever, this is like the new thing or whatever. But when you listen to it like 20 years on, it's like, holy fuck, I can't believe.
Right, but were we ever the target audience? This is the problem that we've got to tackle.
I suppose, yeah.
Right, so I guarantee you will find a lot of people out there who will say, I still listen to that stuff and I love it because that was what I liked when I was younger. So when we're saying that people like to listen to the stuff they liked when they were teenagers, that was obviously what they liked. So in 40 years' time, are they still going to be listening to that stuff? Or will that even stand the test of time with people who liked it?
I watched that documentary on Bros, you know, like the
Bros.
Remember, yeah, Bros, Bros,
Bros,
and it was funny because they did like the reunion thing, and all of their fans who were 13-year-old girls in the 80s are now like, you know, mid-30s housewives and stuff, and like there were no young people there whatsoever.
No, they're all going to be in their 40s.
Like middle-aged women.
But I don't know. Like, part of me thinks, okay, so this is a thing, right? Obviously, Bewitched has got back together. I was just reading their Wikipedia page, and they're touring around Australia with some of these other bands from the age, like Atomic Kitten and Liberty X and Five and stuff. These guys who are getting back together. And obviously, one or more of them, like the famous one, has gone on and left. But the rest of them have kind of stuck together and kept the band together. Done it for like 10 years or more now. And I mean, part of me thinks like, is that wholesome? Or part of me also thinks, is it just, are they just sort of scraping by? You know, is it like...
Oh, they're scraping.
You know, are they like
are scraping by. But if you've been on stage and you've had 3 or 4 years of being on TV and being famous, what, are you going to go work in an insurance company? You know what I mean? It's tough. People cling to fame.
I guess
for obvious reasons.
And this is like the Yogscast.
I'm doing that right now.
It's,
yeah.
It's this whole thing is actually secretly about the Yogscast. Obviously.
I this whole podcast.
I don't want to go back to working at an insurance company. That's why I'm like clinging on as much as I can here. Like, geez.
I mean, I don't know what I think about this a lot is like, I mean, I'm not getting much Dota work anymore. Like, if any, really, like there's all these tournaments going on. I never hear a peep.
Yeah.
No one's asking me, hey, do you want to come out here? And I have to turn down work anymore. Like, I'm not getting nothing.
I think we're suffering from, ageism. I think that's what's happened because we're older guys. I never get invited to Twitch Rivals or anything either. Like, you know, I'm fucking trying. I'm slugging it out every day. Every day I'm on Twitch streaming every day and they never invite me to anything. Like, they're just inviting all the young bucks with blue hair to everything. It's
fucking
like
fucking blue head fucks.
I'm losing my, so I could have strands of blue hair, I suppose. But like, I mean, come on, like, you got to give the older guys a chance too, like equal opportunities and all that.
I could paint my head blue and look like a fucking gobstopper. With yeah, glasses.
You could look like a, like an Everton super fan or something. You just like paint yourself just not, yeah, blue and scream.
Just go the whole fucking thing like a blue blooming group.
I would like to say this to people at Twitch.
And Smurf,
yeah, I could just go Papa Smurf. But I mean, if you're an advertiser, why the fuck are you trying to advertise to 13 and 14 year old kids? They ain't got no money. Jaguar,
yeah, that's it.
Sponsor me. I get older viewers sometimes. Some people
fuck
with
me,
jobs
my chat
and money.
Is filled with people with lots of extra money.
Yeah,
Christ.
I'm talking parents. I'm talking people that have jobs.
Yeah.
I don't have fucking little kids watching me like Ninja and all the rest of these guys. Advertisers, no. Come at me. I am your target demo. I have money. I am a middle-aged man.
I appeal to the model train set in the garage demographic. Those
exactly.
guys have money. These are the
Get
guys who
there.
Have bought all of the Flight Simulator X DLC.
Exactly.
They're in my chat.
There ain't no 12-year-old buying $1,000 worth of DLC.
But that's because we're the old fucking people who play these train sets. I mean, I don't have a train set, but I have a digital train set. I worry that I am becoming like my friend's dads when I was a kid. You know,
yeah,
one of them had a sort of train set. The other one, one of my friend's dads was he worked at a gambling firm, like I think like Ladbrokes or something, like quite high up, and was really into mathematics. And he just did it kind of as a hobby, and he was like always there reading like maths books. And you know, I talked to him about it because I did maths A level and stuff, and I was quite, I'd done a bit of stuff, and he sort of, because I don't think he'd really done a lot of maths at school, and so he was sort of doing the same stuff as I was, and so we were kind of, it was, I don't know, I thought it was nice, but at the same time, so this week, okay, I've been watching loads of YouTube videos about maths for some reason.
Oh, did you watch Numberphile yet? Like, I think
I've been watching Numberphile.
Yeah, they're really good. They're really good. Even if you don't like maths, they make maths seem really interesting.
Another really good, another good series. If you're interested in numbers and maths, to watch, look it up on YouTube. It's called The Number Jacks. You might like that one too.
Okay, yeah.
That's not a reference Lewis will get.
No.
Shout
this
out to
is
the
what,
parents out there.
This is what makes it funny, though. He's gonna look it up and he's gonna come back next week.
The
and be like,
Number
fuck.
Jacks are on their way.
The number jacks are on their way.
Number ticker. Can you take a number? Number ticker, ticking in
the field. The number blocks as well. Number blocks is a good one too.
Oh my god!
New one, Flex.
So, by the way, this is some. I'm sure, and this is a Triforce classic statement coming out. I'm sure we've mentioned this before.
Right.
You know the number taker.
Yeah.
He is the king of the White Walkers in Game of Thrones. Same actor.
Holy shit. I don't know
and
what you're talking
about. And
his
real name is Jimmy Savile? That can't be right.
No, that can't be right.
No. He is that guy. But he actually is that guy.
Jimmy Savile's dead, man.
The different guy.
And his name is Jimmy Savile.
And
that's right.
He is the White
and
Walker.
And he hasn't changed
His name is actually Ross Mullen. I don't know why he's listed as Jimmy Savile on the... Oh, I think someone's edited the page as a joke. His name is Ross Mullen.
Oh my God, we're going to have to cut this.
Why?
Because it's like, we can't just call out some guy as being called this.
What, we're calling him out because he has a name? We haven't accused him of anything.
Wait, what page has the White Walker?
If you
the
Google
the
number
Walkers, it's Jimmy Savile.
No. That, on IMDb, he's listed as Ross Mullen. Originally from Montreal in Canada. And he was in, he was the number taker, and he was also the White Walker in Game of Thrones, okay?
Right.
So if you look at the number taker, if you Google number taker, it says the number taker, Number Jacks Wiki, and you go to that, and it lists the actor's name as Jimmy Savile.
Wow.
So obviously someone's edited it because he's fucking creepy, but yeah, bizarre. That's hilarious.
That's ridiculous. Oh my God. Sorry. So I've been looking, watching maths videos. Yeah. On,
so that's on. The mundane thing you've been doing this week.
You're not cutting any of that, Lewis. You're not cutting any of that
shit.
Nah,
he can't. There's nowhere for him to cut
just
it.
I just didn't want to offend.
How's it
Russ,
offending
Russ
him to
Mullen?
Say he has a name?
Well, but no, but.
Roll some balls, Lewis.
What a mess. Jesus, I've give up. All right.
Yeah.
You'll go.
No, you. What? So you've been watching videos on math. Okay. What have you been doing? This has taken 40 minutes for us to get through what we've been doing this week after I occupied 30 minutes of time talking about music. I'm sorry.
I've been reading comics this week. I went to the comic shop. I bought, because two things. First of all, I'm going to start doing a D&D game on stream because I thought, fuck it. I'd like to do that. I've got viewers who want to play. So I was like, cool. So I went and bought a load of D&D stuff and dug out all my old books and everything, got some PDFs and things from that you can get online for free and not illegally, by the way. And then I bought some comics and I bought Dead Orbit, Aliens Dead Orbit, which is like an alien spin-off by a guy called James Stokoe. And it's mediocre at best. and then I got...
Did you not check any reviews before you bought these or anything?
No, just like you watch a movie. And then you go, yeah, it was all right. You know, I'm not going to, I mean, yeah, it's reasonably well received in comic circles. It's got a lot of good reviews, but it's not great. And then I got Mr. Miracle, which is a DC comic. A guy called Tom King wrote this. The artwork is beautiful, really, really good. The story is very confusing, but very good. I'm not a big DC guy. So a lot of the references and the things, I'm not sure if it's unique to this comic or if it's general stuff from the universe, and apparently a lot of it's general stuff from the universe, so I didn't know who a lot of people were. It's kind of weird, but it is a very interesting comic, and I really liked it. And it does something really original I've never seen in a comic. It actually manages to have two people who are basically gods who live in LA raising a young child that they have and also fighting Satan, essentially, which is bonkers. But they managed to combine that war between the gods with them actually raising a kid, and it's completely believable. The parenting and everything. I was like, shit, I can relate to like half of this stuff. It was really funny. So that was worth the read. And then I got a collection of Punisher comics, the complete collection, volume 2, because I got volume 1, which is just a whole bunch of the Punisher, because I love the Punisher. And then I got one called Sabrina, which is...
The Teenage Witch.
It is not. It's actually unrelated to the Teenage Witch. This was extremely well reviewed. It's by a guy called Nick Donasso. It's in hardback. I don't know if it's in softback. It's excellent. Absolutely excellent. Okay. I recommend it. So those are my comic recommendations du jour.
Right. Holy fuck, we're so cultured on this podcast.
Have you read Squirrel Girl?
Read Squirrel Girl. I thought Squirrel Girl was kind of a joke, but she's meant to be like this unbelievably powerful superhero, and I just thought it was kind of a gimmick, so I never bothered dipping into it.
Oh.
Like, I was worried at the end of the Avengers that Avengers Endgame was going to fucking have Squirrel Girl turn up and save the world, and I'd be like, I'm done. Like, I tried, you know, I love this series, but you can't just have Squirrel Girl. It's too stupid. It's she's ridiculously powerful. It's
I think you have to say it with like an American accent as well, so it rhymes.
Squirrel
I think it's
Girl.
Like Squirrel Girl, anyway.
Squirrel Girl.
Well, this is interesting because I'm preparing to go away to GDC tomorrow in San Francisco. Ah. And last year I went, I got some comics on my iPad, and I was reading one of them on the flight. And I was reading, I probably already said this on the podcast maybe as well, but
probably, yeah.
I was reading Neocomnicon, the Alan Moore Necrocomnicon thingy.
Right.
I think it's called that. Anyway, it's incredibly... I didn't realise quite how graphically explicit it was. It's like very adult. Like,
oh, yeah. I think I was on your flight. I walked over and I saw that you were basically looking at porn on your iPad.
Well, there was this moment
and I had
where
to
like...
say to you, come on, Lewis. Time and place.
I didn't want to be that guy who's like on a flight and everyone could see what they're watching and it's like looks really dodgy. So
I always had that with Game of Thrones. I was sitting next to somebody and I was watching like season one of Game of Thrones on my iPad. Season one was especially racy, remember? Like when it first came out, they wanted to make it like very sexual to like appeal to more people because they weren't sure if it was going to be well received or whatever. Like, at least that's what I was told. So there's a lot more sex scenes in season one and two of Game of Thrones.
It is a lot like watching it with your parents.
Yes,
in the room,
yeah,
you know
it was
mean?
Like that. I was like sitting next to some dude on a plane, and there's like fucking, you know, what's his face? Jamie is just like given Cersei
chowing down in Cersei's mouth, or whatever.
Yeah, in the top of that tower, and it was like pretty awkward. I was like, oh shit, I gotta keep watching though. I can't put it down. I can't miss a thing. So,
well, the problem what I was finding was that I was like getting to a page that was a little bit dodgy, and thinking, oh fuck, shit, people are gonna see this. So I was skipping forward a page, and it would get even worse. And I was like, ah. So I skip forward another page, and there would just be like. Just even worse, and I, do you know what I mean? It was like, oh, it's like, do you know what I mean? Oh God, it was good though. Although I did have to go back and like actually read it properly later, you know, because I don't know, that kind of made the experience of watching it a little bit awkward. I think on planes they do cut out like key scenes.
Like the in flight entertainment.
Pegram was talking to me about how he went and saw Deadpool 2 in China, and there's just whole scenes that have been cut out.
Yeah,
and Deadpool just is there instead saying, hey guys, so this scene had to get cut out, but we're just going to tell you what happened. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's actually, they've almost like made the jokey recut of it to like for the Chinese audience.
Wow, and that's so
and
weird.
It's also weird, the scenes that got cut out. Like, I think the scenes that got cut out were the ones where he had like the baby legs and stuff, you know, like certain stuff
weird,
that you don't think.
That is pretty fucking weird, yeah.
It's pretty weird, but in a sense, like, it's not, it doesn't fit into a kind of normal. Like, whether it's not nipple, it's not like vile, it's not blood, it's not like swearing.
Yeah, but these are like, these are Western things though. Like Eastern things are a bit different. Remember like WoW, they had to redo a bunch of WoW before they could release it in China because there was the thing about like dragon skeletons or something. They weren't allowed to
have them
in a game.
You're not allowed to show bones, are you? Like skeletons.
Or something like that. Yeah, so it's
just
different.
I mean, Dota is a prime example. There's a bunch of heroes that they had to reskin for China because you just can't show anything to do with death or blood or anything like that. It's all like completely taboo. But like when I was in Bali, we were watching a movie on TV, and any shots of people kissing or coming close to kissing were cut, and they weren't cut cleanly. It was like somebody just snipped and then just taped. So you're watching a scene and people lean in, and then it cuts to them leaning back away from each other and saying, phew. So it was like nice. The kiss magically never happened. But sometimes there's dialogue and it's just cut. So there'll be the, well, that's what we've got to do. And the movie just carries on. And it's
that's
like,
really
what?
Weird, yeah.
But hold on, because we needed to know there was dialogue there, you know. But yeah, they just cut it. So that, yeah, there's a lot of weird edits that go on. Because we make movies for the West, and you know, when you go out, you got different cultures and shit, and they're like, can't have that.
I think a lot of Western movies are made so you can doze off
for
5 minutes, wake up, and still like be following it.
Oh,
like,
that's true.
You don't have to, none of these movies or even TV shows or anything really. You can just skip a lot of it and you'll get the idea. Like, so this guy's so you know, like you sit down with one of your friends and you're like on episode 6 of it, and you know, halfway through they're like, oh, so this guy's this guy and this guy does this, and you're like, yeah, that's all you need to know. It's like job done.
I mean, it's like they have those scenes in movies where they're gonna do something and the guy'll say, wait a minute, so you're telling me, and we'll recap what they have to do as if they weren't all there. I mean, when have you ever done that? Like, you've never said we need to go do something and halfway there someone stopped you and said, hold on a minute, so you're telling me we're going to go get lunch at this place and we're going to walk there this way? Yes, that's correct. Okay. He's like, no, it doesn't happen. No one recaps like that.
Oh, fuck.
Maybe we should do more.
Wait a minute. So you're telling me we're recording a podcast right now?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Well, it definitely helps if you brought your nan with you or something, you know, and she needs a little recap.
That's how you make movies. You pretend you're going out with your gran. Where are we going again? We're going to the movies, gran. What are we going to see? We're going to see a porno, gran. We're going to the adult theater.
You guys ever see that Seinfeld routine where he's saying that like he's the guy at the movie theater who doesn't really pay attention and he just spends the whole movie like talking to whoever he's with about it? Did that guy die? I like that guy. Is he dead? What happened to him? like the whole movie? Oh, fuck. I loved it. It was really funny. Hey, speaking of movies, documentaries, I watched that Free Solo yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The documentary about the dude that climbs mountains without
any
equipment.
Yeah, I watched like a 10-minute YouTube like making of the movie instead of watching the movie. I don't know why.
It was all right. It was pretty good. Like it was interesting, but I still don't get why people bother doing it. Like, Why climb a mountain? Like, fuck me. It just seems like...
I mean, I understand why they do it, but why do it with no safety thing? I mean, what, I guess, like, do you really need that to live? Like, I guess, like, thing is, like, if for me, like, they always talk about how addictive it is and they're addicted to the adrenaline and adrenaline junkies and they do these things to risk their lives. And I'm like, well, you know, if you go through this fucking, climb this entire mountain, like, without any protection on afterwards and you've done it, like... How do you top that? You know, how do you like move on to the next bit of your life? And you don't just settle down and get like a fucking job in Starbucks after doing that, do you? But
it's, you know, kind of nuts. Yeah.
How do you get your rocks off? It feels like unnecessary level of I don't know. It's not like perverted in some way.
It's like me when I like for when I first started masturbating. It was just like just normally, you know, like just rubbed up my pensy big time and had a fun time or whatever. But I found over the years, like I needed to like change it up more and more. And now I have to like strangle myself and put a lemon in my
watch
mouth.
Some Cersei incest stuff.
I have to watch
stuff.
Cartoon porn and stuff. Like it's
and
crazy.
Also like neo, yeah, like comic
so I think
stuff.
I, on know, that like, level, I get it. But no, like in the documentary, they did like an MRI scan of him. They're analyzing, trying to analyze his brain just to see like, you know, if they could find something
wrong
that explained why he felt compelled to do this or whatever. And there's like some part of his brain that just normal people will have it like activate under like a normal amount of like, you know, stimulus or whatever. But his just didn't, like for whatever reason. Like he had to go to like extremes to get this like part of his brain to actually start functioning or something like that. And I think he had like Asperger's and stuff like that too, which I don't know if it's related in any way or whatever, but it was interesting anyway. It's really well done. I mean, it's impressive and stuff, but I'm still always just left wondering like I just don't get it. I just don't get mountain climbing. I don't understand the appeal. Like, and I've never done it before and I have no desire to do it either. So like, I felt like part of it was a bit wasted on me, but
I feel like
it was interesting.
The film crew inputting into these people's lives sometimes can be very pressurizing and cause problems in a sense. Like, you know, as soon as you shine the camera on someone, they start behaving like kind of extravagantly or exaggerating.
So you think there's almost like a quantum effect where there's an uncertainty there, and then when you look at the particle, its position becomes solidified.
It's like, right. Yeah, it's like a math problem. It's like a Heisenberg. No, so I think what...
I think there was a Numberjacks episode about that, actually.
I guess what I'm trying to say is that people tend to show off or be a bit more foolhardy or reckless when they're on camera. And I wonder to what effect, like, film crews are aware that they might be putting the targets of their film movies at risk. When I watched a documentary about this sort of Free Solo, I was like, to what extent does this guy, you know, obviously he knows he's being filmed, like he knows that the whole thing's happening, like, but you know, does that mean that like he, like, you know, maybe he was thinking, okay, I'm not ready to do it, but I'm under the pressure, I'm being filmed, I've got to do it. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe, is that positive, is that negative? Like, what if something had happened? Would it have happened because they were filming? Would they be responsible if he'd fallen off?
You well, know, that's like, it. You're basically just, they're sitting there almost waiting to watch a guy die is what some of them felt like. And some of them couldn't even look in the cameras like while they were doing it, because they're like, he'd get to certain parts of the mountain and they'd just be like, fuck, like,
God, I've got to watch
this.
He has
no safety equipment whatsoever. He's,
what's he, it called again?
We're about to watch a guy die. It's called Free Solo.
Because I watched a documentary called Losers, which is quite good if you want to check that
okay.
out. It's about people
Are
who-
you in it?
Hey, fuck you.
It's no, but on a related note, it's about me, so...
That was such a cheap shot. That was like the cheapest fucking... Losers, eh? We mean you. We mean 12? Fucking grown man over here.
Relax.
Relax.
I'm only fucking hitting you.
That's fucking rich coming from the guy who just read like 20 comic books as well. Like, I'm just putting it out there.
Fuck you guys. I'm not even going to say what I was going to say. Fuck you. Find your own fucking stupid shows. Fuck you. And you can keep listening to the Beatles and think you're listening to new music, you old bitch.
So it's a sports thing. It's a sports thing, right?
I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about, Liz. Carry on. I'm going to flame the shit out of you next time you talk about anything. Go on, tell us a story.
Idiot! Oh, man, relax.
I just think it's interesting. I'm just trying to tell you something.
Okay, so hang on. Let's backtrack a bit. What was the documentary called? Losers. Confirm, deny? No.
Yes. I think PFLAX is actually upset. Sorry, I didn't mean to offend you.
I'm just fucking with you. It's just a show about it's a show about people who've failed in some way and then turn it into a success. That's it.
Right.
It's good. It's inspiring for all of you out there who have assholes like Lewis up your dick all day. Running you down.
Oh, I'm sorry, PFLAX. Don't worry, we'll get you some work, man.
That was such a cheap shot too. Fuck me.
So cheap. It's not the sometimes first time. That's why I'm angry. It's not the first time.
Sometimes it's the cheapest ones that trigger you the hardest.
I gotta take them when I can get them.
God damn.
Oh, come on.
This podcast's over. Oh. We're not doing one next week. That's it.
No, well, we're not. We're not anyway, because Lewis is going away. So
I know, that was the joke. So we could have not done one next week.
Oh,
and then we
shit.
Would have said it's because Tyrion's falling out with
it.
Lewis.
Oh.
And then we could have like a reconciliation episode, but it's all right.
I think we'll be all right. But interestingly, if people do want more Triforce next week, it's possible that our main channel challenge will be out. So me and Sips and PFLAX did a main channel.
Shit, is that coming out next week?
I think it will come out pretty soon. Yeah.
Oh my god.
I've been waiting for that because I want to see what it looks like. Like I'm actually pretty.
Yeah, I
want
to see what it looks like too. Yeah.
We did. It wasn't a sponsored thing.
No, it was
but
so
we wanted to.
Weird, but really fun.
So fucking weird. But that was a blast.
It was super fun. Yeah.
We got some money from people say paying YouTube memberships, and I wanted to put it back into doing like a live action thing because I really enjoy doing them, and so. That's what it's sponsored by. It's actually funded by memberships on YouTube, which is an interesting.
So
thing.
Make sure you mash that membership button on YouTube.
You can do it. Or you could support the Triforce podcast on patreon.com/triforcepodcast.
Slam down a Patreon on us or something.
Would certainly appreciate it.
Maybe this week's not the best week to pledge your Patreon, though, because there's not going to be a podcast next week. So you don't want to be in the situation where you're like, support this week, and then you're like, oh, fuck, these guys didn't even release one.
We haven't got it on like a per podcast anyway, so it's like sort of a month.
Oh, I did. In other minor news, I did get caught speeding twice, and I now have 6 points on my license.
Holy
what?
Shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
holy
be
shit.
Responsible
same camera?
Out there. Yeah, no, one on the way down to fucking Bristol to record that shit with you guys. That was 3 points. And I was 9 miles over the speed limit. And once going down to see my mum, I was 7 miles an hour
oh
in the
my
speed
God.
Limit.
God.
So yeah, and within the space of like 2 weeks, I got caught twice. Never had any trouble before. But both times coming off the motorway, hit a zone that's surprisingly, oh shit, this is 40. You start to slow down.
We should have talked about this. It's really stressful when you get that fucking citation from the police as well, isn't it?
It was, because like, it's super
really
serious.
Like,
the fucking language they use.
It's like being sent to the, it's like being back at school and being like told off.
It's really
off.
Interesting as well that like they're so on top of stuff like that brings in like ticket money or whatever. And then knife crime is just out of control. Really interesting.
Well, anyway, really that's all we got time for. Buy the jug. Well, you don't have to if you're a big Patreon fan.
Or we'll get
$100. If you subscribe for 1 month on that, that'll get you a jug, and I'll get them shipped off pretty soon.
You can be the jugger or the juggy.
Yes,
you choose.
Yeah, you can do the jugging, or you could be the recipient of a jug.
Yeah,
maybe don't use boiling water
makes
though.
A
like
great wedding
thank
gift.
You to all of our Patreon supporters. It's been amazing. We love
and
you.
And if you do get a jug and you do decide to jug someone. Make sure you video it and send it to us on Twitter, but don't use boiling water. Don't use
anything
that's
going to
harm or kill somebody, okay? But just like as
jug
a joke.
Jug your mum when she's
sunbathing.
You can
use really freezing cold water, though. That would be funny.
Ice your dad.
Yeah, ice him up hard.
Or a friend.
Ice your dad for me.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, there you go. That's our podcast. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thanks very much.
See you all next. In the next couple of weeks, so I'm going to be waiting. I'll have lots of stories when I come back.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
sure
that's
about,
true. That's true.
All right, homeless people.
Perfect. Okay.
Trying to strangle me. All right.
Yes.
Bye.
See you soon. Bye.